Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hey, Josiah. Happy Tuesday.
Thanks for having me on your show.
So nice to see you. What brings you into the studio today?
Oh, I get paid and I'm forced to, unfortunately. If I get fired.
Is that the first time today, even though we've been together for 4 hours now, is that the first time we've actually inquired about how each other's doing?
Yeah. I'd actually ask. I never asked you how you were.
You just walked in, hey.
Hey.
And I said, hey. And then we didn't speak again till 6 a.m.
Literally. And then we did a show till 9 and we will not speak after this either.
Yeah. So let's get real for a second. How are you doing, bud? How are you feeling?
To be honest, struggling.
Yeah? Okay.
Got
Why
back.
Are you struggling?
No, I feel quite good. Oh, I had a holiday, which you guys have heard all about in yesterday's show.
DJ, where'd you go?
I'm waiting for the jet lag to kick in. Albania!
Oh, sorry, I don't remember.
I haven't been jet lagged yet. And I'm very nervous because I arrived Sunday morning. Yesterday was Monday. Today is Tuesday and I feel amazing.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for you. There you go. All right, cool.
So that's done? How I'm going. What about you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, good, thanks.
Well, we actually hear how you're going after a little story from the weekend. You're a bit of a loser. Well, we decide whether you're a loser or not.
Yeah, you can weigh in too, podcast listener. Jane, I'm going to call you.
Let's actually also talk about the important stuff before we get into the show. I'm quite hungry and you are as well. Where should we go for food? Do we get Subway?
I was thinking of doing like an Aldi run and just getting an avocado and some tomato and coming back and making toast.
No? So boring.
Okay, I'll go Subway.
Let's go Subway. They do it for you.
I tried something new last week and I liked it.
What was it?
Chicken strips.
Ah.
The ones without any flavour.
Because for those interested, we usually have classic chicken, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And they've got a new royalty rewards program as well.
Ah.
Yeah, so you scan your app, I'm nearly getting a new free one.
Well, there's our day then. We're sorted, guys.
# not sponsored.
We aren't. They don't even spend money on this station.
I know. Come on, Subway.
We'll send this to them. All right, sales, sell this to them. Do your jobs.
Does it count, though, if it didn't go on air and if it just went in the podcast?
It doesn't matter, guys. This is worth millions. Let's get out of here.
I'm so sorry. Enjoy the podcast.
This sucks.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie.
Google this, though. It's a fact. Tuesday should be the most productive day of the week. And so if you've woken up this morning and you're not feeling very productive, because let's face it, it's 4 degrees outside, it's cold, it's dark, I'm here to help you out, guys.
Some motivational music hit me, Ellie. I remember the last time we did this segment, you got a close 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
And when you average under 50%, you've come out on a very high note, so make this good today.
Oh, God. I'm not – do you know what? I'm not backing myself. I'm a bit rusty. It's been a few weeks since we did this segment, so I'm not feeling great about it. But
start getting productive yourself.
Okay. How about this one, Josiah? Productive thought number one for your Tuesday. Always buy your clothes a size too small. That way, you're always aiming to get skinnier to reach that goal weight.
Productive thought.
Yeah, but if you're fat – you'd imagine the love handles hanging out of that thing.
More incentive to be healthier. I mean, if you're like already super skinny, don't do it.
Is this like women for their wedding by dresses?
Yeah, shredding. It's like you and I have got an awards ceremony to go to in a month and a half, right?
Yeah, why
and
is I, that? I was thinking, why do we have an awards ceremony?
I just got nominated for a radio award, whatever, it doesn't matter. Oh my God, we haven't mentioned that on the show yet. We don't need to, whatever.
We probably should.
Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking last night, I got to start shredding for it. It's like 6 weeks away.
So what, if you were to go buy a dress or try on a dress tomorrow, would you buy it a size smaller?
Yeah.
But what if you go to shred but you put on muscle and then you're still too big for that dress?
Nah, I won't be because it's not. Just can you just give me a...
No, I'll give you half a point.
Productive.
Okay, how about this? When you want to call in sick for work but you're not like actually feeling sick, you're chucking a sickie, how about you chuck some talcum powder on your face? And then it makes you look paler and then it's more believable. You can send a selfie to your boss and be like, oh, I'm so sick. I've lost all the colour from my face.
Productive thought.
Come on. Yeah. My brother used to do it at school. Worked for him.
If you're sending selfies to your boss, I think
I send it to Boss Benny all the time.
I know, but they're a different type of selfie. I'm going to give you a 0 for that one. I don't like it. Who sends selfies to their boss unless they're hooking up with them? You.
No, you can't be my boss. Let's make that very clear. I mean, there's one boss I wish I could hook up with.
Oh, right.
Just kidding. It was a joke, guys, because there's a running joke that one of our bosses is hot.
I hope Rod is in his car driving to Melbourne this morning. Big bad Rod.
He's going to be at that award ceremony too.
The big Rod.
Anyway, I'm not sure if I've done this one before. It ties in with tip number one. Everywhere you go.
Tip.
Everywhere you go, Josiah. run, don't walk, because that way you're burning calories just by going to the toilet or getting yourself a cup of coffee.
Productive.
Yeah,
thought.
I don't mind that one. I'll give you a point.
Thank
Although
you.
If you're like in your work clothes, if you're a lady in heels and you're running to the bathroom, it might look like you've got something else wrong.
Yeah, but when you come out, look how trim and taut you're going
to
be.
But you have to run when you come out as well. So what's wrong with that girl? She's ran to the toilet. She's running out.
Yeah, they would think, oh, she's productive. That's what it is.
That's true.
Finally, if you're struggling to remember stuff like your study notes or like that you've got to go to the dentist at 2:30 today or something, just turn everything into a song. Because songs get stuck in your head better than reminders do.
Productive thought.
We're speaking to a lot of our clients this morning. If you listen to our, if you stick around for our ad break that's coming up in a second.
That's life at the Park Lake.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
We need to make the Goulburn Valley aware of something, Josiah. And that is a bit of a failing in you as a person, as a man.
I wouldn't call it a failing. I'd call it a lapse in character.
So a failing. So I got a message from you. You obviously arrived back in Australia on Sunday, due back at work on Monday morning. So I got a message from you on Sunday night saying, hey, so sorry to do this, but I'm going to need you to pick me up for work in the morning. I said, God, he's been back in the country one day and he's already asking for favours. Typical. So I had to set my alarm 10 minutes early, drive all the way to Kyala. I live north end of Shep.
I mean, 15 minutes, not too bad.
Hey, at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's a long way to go.
I'd drive to China for you. It's the least you could do.
You can't drive to China. There's an ocean in between, just so you know. Anyway, so I go and pick you up and I said, what's happened, bro? Why do you need me to, where's your car? And you said, oh, I've got a flat tire. And I was like, yeah, cool. Well, just sort your tire over, change your tire. Isn't that what everyone does? And you said, yeah, but I don't know how. And I was like, hold on, here we go.
Well, hang on a sec. Let's take it back a few steps here, right?
Yeah.
So I had a flat tire coming back from my mate Rowan's house after I landed and went and said, had a coffee with him.
Yeah.
As I'm leaving back, I went, dun, 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 and it stopped. Mm-hmm. I pulled over. It was gone. I got it into a servo. It wouldn't pump up. So I pulled it into a side street north of Shep and just left it there for the night. It's a Sunday night.
That's tomorrow's problem.
It was raining. It was a Sunday night. I was jet lagged. I just wanted bed. And I thought, you know what? That's tomorrow's problem. I called my roommate, Morgan. She came and picked me up. Thank you to Morgs. And then I thought, I'll text Ellie. She can pick me up. And after the show tomorrow, we'll sort it out. And we did.
Yeah. Well, when you say we did, it took three of us. So we had to pile you, me, and Boss Benny into the car to go find your car, figure out what tire it was, then go to the tire place, then go back to the car. It was a whole adventure. And you, every step of the way, had to have Boss Benny by your side because you're like, I don't know what to look for. I don't know what to ask
for. Well, he knows how to change a tire.
Yes.
It's funny. In Albania, actually, we had a flat tire on
did
a road
trip.
Did
you go to Albania?
I did.
Oh,
it was
what?
A great holiday. We had a flat tire then as well. And my cousin, Bessie, he got out and was like, it's 40 degrees, change in. I just sat back watching him going.
But didn't you think this is an opportunity to learn in case this ever happens to you?
Probably should. In hindsight, I should have, yes. I didn't know I was going to get another flat tire the day I get back.
So after changing it with Boss Benny yesterday, how could you do it by yourself?
No, because I because he pumped it up. Then we ended up taking it to a tire place and they did it for me. So I still don't know how to change a tire.
Oh, Josiah, you're so cute.
This is what the RACV and people like that get paid to do. They do these jobs for me. Yeah, why do I need to learn when I pay people to do it for me?
You don't have to pay people. You can just do it yourself, buddy.
I'm loaded. They can do it for me.
13, 12, 16. This is a safe place, kind of. Can you not change your tire? In particular, are you a man who can't change your tire? I don't want to make this into a sex thing.
Boys, back me up this morning. I just need one bloke in the Goulburn Valley that can also not change a tire. Make me feel a little bit better this morning, please.
I guarantee you we're not going to get anyone.
Just one.
I'm
women,
sorry.
Women, dob your men in, please.
Give us a call now, 13, 12, 16.
Hit breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
Taylor from Wangaratta has given us a call. Morning, Taylor.
Morning. How are you guys?
Well, thank you. Are you going to be Josiah's saving grace this morning?
Yeah, I am.
Marry me, Taylor.
Why is that? Who do you know who can't change a tyre?
One of my work colleagues. I won't actually say his name because I really don't want to humiliate him.
Oh, come on. If I've been named and shamed, you should do the same for him as well.
But how it actually came about, it was really funny. I was driving to work and I was in one of the work cars and got a flat tyre, and I didn't realise at this stage that, you know, we'll just call RACV and they'll come out and change it. So I'm stuck on the freeway trying to change this tyre. And when I got back to the office, I was telling them, and Trent, is his name. I can't not say.
Oh, yes.
And Trent started laughing at me. He's like, oh, if you do that, I don't know how to change a tyre. I just call RACV.
See,
Trent and Josiah.
It's the times that we live in now. We have people, we have facilities to do it, so our manhood is no longer needed like it was back in the day. It's like driving a manual. I don't need to learn because I've got an automatic car now.
Hold on. You can't drive a manual either?
Keep digging yourself a hole, Josiah.
Can we go to a song?
Any mechanics out there or anything, can you get in touch with Josiah? Because he needs a lot of work done. Just
hey,
generally.
I also actually need some new oil in my car as well. I don't know how to change that. Get to a song before I reveal any more.
Thanks for your call, Taylor.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, God. Maybe you need one of these, Josiah. Ariana Grande, boyfriend. Was that for you?
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Now, last night on Survivor, it was kind of a sad moment because we were expecting a big dramatic tribal council where another person gets stabbed in the back. But instead, we had to say goodbye to Ross Clark Jones because he was out with an ankle injury. Joins us now. Morning, Ross.
Well, good morning. Yeah, it was a bit of a tearjerker, wasn't it?
It really was. I felt so bad for you. But you were so good in, like, you were just so gracious about it all. I would have been bawling my eyes out.
I was on painkillers. I was a bit starry-eyed there. Yeah.
Morphine always helps. Ross, you're one of the best and biggest wave surfers in the history of the world. Surely you've had much bigger injuries as well than that.
No, you know what? I haven't. This is the worst injury I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, because it's such a lengthy thing too. And the ankles are really hard rehab, apparently.
Yeah.
My friend Tom Carroll's done the same thing, like a relative, like, probably worse. But he said it takes 9 to 12 months. I'm like, what?
Is this the one where it shatters the bones and they have to piece it together?
No, it's not the bones. It actually wasn't broken. The bones were... It's the ligaments. Oh. The ligament damage in that connects and holds the bone together. So I've done an operation and, you know, I've probably another 6 months out of the water.
Wow.
Don't tell me that because my boyfriend's about to have an ankle recon on his ligaments and stuff. Is he going to be out for that long?
Apparently. It depends what you want to do after. I'm trying to ride 100-foot waves and that back foot acts as my steering wheel. So I need that to be strong. So, I don't know. It depends on what you're surfing, I guess.
You're still big wave surfing, mate?
I still am, yes.
Because you were born, I just want to read out your birth date, 6/6/66.
Yeah.
Mate.
I know. It's bizarre, isn't it? I reckon their parents just lost my birth certificate and sort of put a number on it. I don't know.
Yeah. What makes you want to ride those massive waves? Because I'm not going to lie, I could not think of anything more terrifying.
Since I was 11 years old.
Yeah,
Like, I was wanting to go bigger and bigger and, like, these waves aren't big enough. So it's since an early age I wanted to, and then, you know, finally found those waves in Nazare to 80 to 100 feet, and, you know, that's big enough.
I wanted to bring up Nazare with you because growing up, mate, you're an absolute hero of mine. I still have in my house here in Kyala Lakes the photo of you riding that famous wave in Nazare.
You know what, that's probably... How old was it?
Oh, it's years, mate. Maybe 15, 20 years old.
No. That wasn't Nazare. That was actually Log Cabins in Hawaii. That was January 28, 1998.
That's the one?
Whoa.
How big was that wave? Because we actually...
I don't know. That's probably... Because we hadn't seen waves like that before, you know? Never seen it. Because we've just used the jet skis, the introduction of the jet skis, so... Yeah.
What happens at the, like, so when you're riding those waves, you ride it right and then it breaks. Do you stay upright the whole way to the shore? Like, what do you do once it's all broken?
Oh, you just want to stay upright, yeah. Otherwise, you're underwater.
Don't fall.
Don't fall. You just want to ride it out until until the white water dissipates.
Wow.
And try and make it around it in layman's terms. Yeah, you just got to sort of, I remember Kerry Packer asking me the same question when he was alive, going, how do you get around these things? I'm going, what do you mean? I'm not getting under it. I'm trying to get around the thing, ride it and get an escape from it.
I don't know how you don't blow off the board. I know you have to have your feet strapped into the surfboard because they're so big. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This,
to give some context to how big these waves are, to fit it into the frame, Dad and I had to trim off the bottom of the photo. The wave was that big, mate. You're an absolute charger.
Yeah, thank you. But, yeah, no, the waves are, I mean, 80 to 100 feet in height. You need the straps more for the speed, because the speed you're travelling at, the boards will stop on the surface, so you need to be glued to that board.
Right.
But
all of that, nothing compared to Survivor? What's harder?
It's different, you know, but I've never had an injury like this.
Yeah.
But it's different. I mean, I was actually really comfortable in the jungle and the salt water and I was at home up there. So, you know, it's for me, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was hard the first couple of days getting used to it and my sleeping patterns were horrible.
Yeah.
You know, with my snoring and everything. But, I mean, that made the news.
Yeah. It did. I want to bring up something else that happened on our show. We had Matt, the pro wrestler from New South Wales, on.
Oh, yeah, Matty.
Matty told us on the first day somebody left, because we asked him about the toilet arrangement, someone left a little present on the path on the first day and everyone was trying to figure out who it was.
Oh, it wasn't me. No, that's because, I mean, I wasn't in that tribe at that stage.
Right.
Yeah. That was a contenders tribe. I heard all sorts of stuff. I go, oh, someone left a birthday present.
All right. Well, we're narrowing it down. We're going to get to the bottom of it, Ross. That's our aim.
You know, I heard it was a girl.
Okay, we're narrowing it down. By the end of this week or by the end of next, we will find out who that is.
Exactly. Well, Ross, thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. My housemate and I were saying last night, it's the most honourable way to depart Survivor with an injury.
Yeah, definitely.
No one stabbed
you in the back. Injury.
Yeah, exactly.
I could be back.
Yeah, exactly. All stars will watch out for you then.
Okay, thank you.
Good on you, mate.
All right, thanks, Ross. Survivor is back on Win 7:30 tonight.
Hit Breakfast with Josiah and Ellie.
This article I found has blown my mind. Nearly half of people that are listening right now, they don't change their underwear every single day. And how's this? 13% of people wear the same pair of undies. 13%, that's a big amount of number, more than 1 in 10 people, wear the same pair for 1 week straight. Goulburn Valley, check yourselves. I'm a fresh pair a day kind of guy. So I am safe from this article. I'm in the safe 50%.
Yeah.
Once you wear a pair of undies once, they go in the washing. A lot happens down there from both ends. That is all that needs to happen. Safe to say.
A week.
50% of people wear it more than once. I get it if it's at the end of your washing cycle or something, you're down to your last pair and you need to wear it for an extra half day till your clothes dry.
Yeah.
But 50% of people are wearing one twice all the time. 13% for a week straight. Ellie, we know you're famous here. You love your Black Bonds underwear.
I do.
I can imagine you being one of these 50% of people.
What, you reckon I wear the same pair of undies for a week?
Not for a week. I can see you definitely. You're a bit of a tight ass, let's be honest. So you love to save time and money. So I can see you wearing a pair more than one day.
No. Okay. No. Look, I will never have a shower and then put the same pair on. No. Gross. Disgusting. But I have in recent weeks started doing something that I'm not super proud of, but also I feel like I could be justified in doing it.
Be careful here because we're going to be judging.
I know. Okay. So in my entire breakfast radio career, I've had the same routine.
Same Get pair up. Of undies. 5 years straight, guys. Have a smell.
No, I've had the same routine, and that is that I get up in the morning and I have a shower, and then I have a shower alarm that gets me out of the shower, and then I get ready for the day. Lately, being a very cold Victorian winter and being so sleep deprived, I haven't been having my morning shower. Instead, I'll have a shower the night before.
Hang on. Before you finish this, I know where it's going. Mm. So do you sleep with underwear on?
Yes.
And then you come to work in the same pair? I find that disgusting.
No, it's not.
I knew that's what you were going
to
say.
Look, I had a shower. Okay, last night I went to netball. I got home. I had a shower. I went to bed. This morning I got up.
Same pair.
Pulled my jeans on and came to work.
But wait, hang on. Say you sleep for 8 hours.
Yeah.
That's a long time of the day, right?
Yeah, but...
A lot could happen during the night in 8 hours. Let's not go into any specific details, Ellie. And then you've come with the same pair on right now.
Yeah, but I'm not doing anything. Like, obviously, girls don't fart, so we know that I'm not doing that.
You can't. There's particles when stuff like that happens.
But I'm not doing that because girls don't do that.
Oh, my.
So they're crystal clear. I could eat off them.
I feel good about myself. I know earlier in the show we talked about me not being able to change a tire.
Yeah.
And I've kind of come around a full circle right now because at least, first of all, I sleep nude, to fair anyone that wants to picture
See,
it.
See, that's disgusting. Then how often are you washing your sheets?
Once every week.
Oh, well, we spoke about this on the show.
Yeah, we have. At least once a week I change my sheets. And then I wear a fresh pair of undies every time I come to work. Actually, right now I'm not wearing any.
Oh, see, that's disgusting. Are you going to wear those shorts again then?
Good point, actually.
Oh, 13, 12, 16, weigh in this morning, Goulburn Valley. Surely I'm not alone. Can you sleep in your undies and then wear them that day?
Or how often do you change your undies?
Yeah.
Surely, if they're blokes... If there's one of you listening that wears them for a week straight,
yeah,
have no
love.
Shame. Give us a call, 13, 12, 16. Love to have a chat.
Yeah.
Love to
we
have
won't
a
judge.
Smell.
In fact, yeah, bring them in. We'll have a whiff.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie.
It's very interesting to think that 50%. So when you're walking the streets this morning, if you're in your car this morning, Goulburn Valley, look around. One in every second person that you can see right now is wearing the same pair of undies from yesterday. That
means
is disgusting.
Half of our office, Josiah. Who do you reckon? Boss Benny, 100%.
Oh, Boss Benny would wear the same pair for a week.
What about Kel, the big boss?
Kel, no, he'd be a fresh pair a day sort of guy.
Yeah?
He's a clean-looking bloke. You know Billy from Triple M? We share an office with them.
Yeah.
I reckon that guy, he'd wear the same pair for a year.
Triple M branded, of course.
Of course.
13, 12, 16, get in touch with us this morning, Goulburn Valley. We want to know how often you're changing your undies because we're creepy like that. Let's go to Dave from Echuca. Dave, what are your thoughts? How often are you changing yours, bud?
Look, guys, I've discovered the most incredible life hack. I can get 4 days out of my undies.
Oh.
Mate, you've got some serious issues. What's your hack, first of all? I hope it's good.
No, it's all clean. It's all good. So basically what you can do is you can wear them regular weight day one,
mm-hmm.
then you flip them around day two, so back to front. Then day three, you turn them inside out, wear them regular weight. Day four, inside out, back to front.
Dave.
Okay, back to
I
front.
Need like 5 pairs of Grundies gets me through a month.
Dave, hang on, mate. You do know that things can happen down there both ends. So when you're turning it back to front, it's the same problem both sides, mate. You just mix and matching.
Nah, keep it all in check down there. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. It's all ship shape and nah, we're all good. We're all good. Trust me.
My biggest concern is don't boys' undies have the little pouches?
Not all.
Don't they?
Not all of them. No, you got to be pretty selective. If you're using my tried and true method, you got to be pretty selective with what you're rocking down there.
Yeah, because if you have a pouch in the wrong end, what's the pouch for? You know, like I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean,
opens up a lot of questions.
And it actually works both ways as well. You know what,
yeah.
Dave? I'm not surprised we got this call, but thank you for sharing it with us this morning.
Cheers, guys.
And I just want to bring up a message as well that we've received to the Hit Goulburn Valley Facebook from Nicole, because we were talking before about how I put my undies on before I go to bed and then wear them to work the next day occasionally.
It's the equivalent of wearing them twice in a row, but yeah.
Nicole said, in regards to the underwear topic, if you think about Ellie's situation, it's no different than wearing your underwear throughout the day. So instead of wearing undies all day, then going to sleep in them and then changing them in the morning, she's wearing them at night, then changing them.
No, Nicole, this is where I reckon you're wrong, and you are as well, Ellie, because you're trying to justify this in your head, right?
Yeah.
You're wearing them for 8 hours while you sleep. You don't get changed. You then wear them throughout the day. So if you wake up at 4 a.m., you go to bed at night. When
yeah.
you shower. What time's your shower? 7 o'clock at night, I'd say.
No, last night it was at like 9 o'clock because I had netball.
That's over 12 hours
yeah,
in the day plus 8 hours at night.
But it's the same if you've worn them all day and you're all sweaty and gross and then you're sleeping in them. That's
but,
even grosser.
But you're basically wearing them for 20 hours straight. That's disgusting. Disgusting, Ellie.
What do you think goes on down? Actually, no, let's not go into that.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
The moment has come that we decide if I'm a loser or not.
I'm a loser.
Now, the reason that this has come about is because over the weekend, I had a bit of a bad day on Friday. I was feeling a bit down.
What
you know?
Happened, Ellie? Talk to Uncle Josiah.
You know, just bits and bobs here and there that made me feel a bit like... bit just down, and I thought, do you know what? This weekend I had absolutely zero plans. Apart from going to the Eagles game on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
I had zero plans. So I was like, ugh, I'm gonna go on an adventure.
You know what though? before you tell your story, to a lot of parents listening that have kids, they dream about having a solo weekend with no plans, no kids, nothing on.
No, but it was the third in a row for me. So I was
Where's
like,
"Where's your boyfriend?
He's in Perth.
Tell him to come.
I try.
He doesn't. What, he's happy just watching you be a loser all by yourself?
Pretty much, yeah. Gav. So I called him Saturday morning and said, I'm on my way to Geelong. He said, what's in Geelong? Why are you going there? And I said, I don't know. I booked a hotel this morning. I'm going there. I've never seen Geelong before. I'm going to explore.
And I heard Tinder's really good around there.
Yeah, and I can't hook up with anyone in Shepparton, so may as well. No, of course not. Anyway, so I did. I went down to Geelong. I stayed in a hotel and I took myself for a massage, went shopping, went out for dinner. Actually, no, I didn't go out for dinner. I went out for lunch, but then I got room service in my hotel by myself for dinner.
Did you meet anyone? Like, did you sit at a bar, have a drink and talk to anyone?
I tried to. I walked to a bar and I was like, here we go. I'm going to take myself out. I'm going to have a night out on the town by myself. Couldn't do it. Got there was bouncers and lines to get in. I was like, nah, I'm not ready
Surely
for this.
Surely there's someone in the Goulburn Valley that wants to hang out with you. Where are
your
girlfriends?
Oh, no, it's okay. This isn't like a sob story, but the problem is I posted a couple of Instagram stories on my Instagram, ellie.chain, if you want to follow me, whatever. And I had so many responses being like, are you alone? Did you really go to a hotel by yourself just for the sake of it? You're such a loser. I was like, no, I'm not.
Well, there's two sides to the debate. First of all, yes, you are a loser. Second of all, I guess if you take my angle of what I said about the parents dreaming of that, if you look at your future, that's one day you're going to be covered with family and kids and have zero alone time for yourself.
Yeah.
So if you're making the most of it now because you're preempting what's to come, then I guess you're not a loser.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to tear me to shreds.
No, because I love alone time.
You know. Do you want to come to Geelong with me next time?
I would love to come with you. You know what?
Do you guess what? There's a deck down there.
Is there?
Yeah, like the deck here. It's deck 2.0.
So it's basically just Shep in another place by the seaside.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. So there you go. Oh, good. All right. I'm glad I'm not a loser.
No,
thank you.
No, you're a semi-loser.
Thank you. All right. Okay. You know what? I'll take it.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Now, you may remember last week on the show, I had investigative journalist Adam Shand on to talk about his new podcast, Understate in Plain Sight, which basically details the story of Jonathan Dick, who is an alleged murderer. He's been on the run for the last 2.5 years. And yesterday, in some breaking news, he was captured in the Melbourne CBD. So we've gotten Adam back on the show this morning to give us the latest. Morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Now, this is huge news. You've been obviously covering this story for a while now to do the podcast. Where were you when you heard the news that he'd been captured?
I was asleep. I got a call from David. Who was in our podcast. He'd been attacked allegedly by Jonathan. So his wife, Danny, called me and said, it's over. And I went, huh? Really? I couldn't believe it. It's still a bit hard to believe after 2.5 years.
Yeah.
He could finally be caught. But an extraordinary end to an extraordinary story.
It is. He's a local to us as well here in the Goulburn Valley. He's got a place in Seymour. He also grew up in Wallen. He was found in the middle of Melbourne CBD, though. How has he been hiding right in front of us all?
Well, he is a fairly nondescript-looking person. And this has been going on for a long time. He's been careful with his routines. He stays out of sight mostly. There's a few factors going in his favour. But, of course, he has to be lucky every day, the police and everybody else, just once. And so it proved eventually.
Yeah, right. So he was captured right in the heart of the CBD. Did you head straight down there when you heard, or what did you do yesterday?
No, I spent all day speaking to the people who'd been waiting for 2.5 years for this moment, who'd been living in fear every day. Can you imagine? Every day you think, is a person coming to get me? There's about 6 people who are in that position, but particularly David Kay, as I called him in the podcast, because he always knew that Jono was coming back to him. I kept saying to him, David, listen, last time he came to see you, you got over him, he ran away, he won't come back. But I was wrong. He was definitely waiting to come back and allegedly strike David. And a few days ago, though, I actually sent him a message saying, I've just got a feeling that things are about to come to a head. And I've got the message to prove it, by the way.
Yeah, right.
but no, it was just a sense that he was seen apparently last week in the same car park downtown. And David was made aware of that. So he was on guard. And, you know, it's just this inexorable feeling that, that Jono had an agenda to prosecute, and he nearly got there for the second time after allegedly killing his brother in February 2017.
Thank goodness he didn't. Adam, you do see these days, and this is kind of the times we're living in, many podcasts, including your own, for example, Teacher's Pet, that wasn't yours, but another podcast that led to an arrest in the end. Sorry, I can't talk. With yours as well coming out, the timing's very fittingly. Do you take any of the, you know, the applause for the arrest? Because I'm telling you what, with a lot of people listening to yours, it would definitely help contribute to the arrest.
Well, I hope that we did. I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's possible that he heard the podcast, and certainly his words to David indicate there's a fresh grudge, because David, when he captured Jono, he said to him, "What have I ever done to you?" And Jono's reply was, "You have no idea what you've done to me." And I don't know. He does have paranoid schizophrenia, serious mental illness. And the good thing is he's now in a place where he can be cared for, and I guess the whole story can come out of what's happened. It is a tragedy for everyone involved, and I just think of the family at these moments to think they've lost a son, they nearly lost another. I'm glad that it came to a peaceful conclusion yesterday, however dramatic it was.
So David was a school friend of Jono's, like you said, and they grew up together. And he actually tried to help him as his mental health was deteriorating. And then there was the alleged attack on David a couple of years ago. Was David involved yesterday in the actual capture of Jono? Was it another attempted attack?
It was surveillance, certainly, and possibly an attempted attack. They did find police a bucket which contained a hammer, a knife, one or two other items. So he was a bit of a DIY killer, allegedly, because over the time he attacked David with a sharpened plasterer's hammer back in August last year, allegedly. Mm. And here he was again backing up with a plaster bucket and some tools. So whether he was planning for the attack that day, I'm not sure, but certainly he'd been there a couple of times. He was focused. It was also almost 1 year to the day of the last attack.
Unbelievable.
And early in the morning as well, which is when he allegedly has typically struck in the past, right?
That's right. And, you know, people will say to you, you know, people in the underworld say to me, that's the time you hit somebody. You know, they're coming into their car, getting out of their car. They're not thinking about it. But I think by this time, David was vigilant and ready to go. The remarkable thing about him, and I'll just share this with you, in the morning there he is catching Australia's most wanted man. Mm. In the afternoon, back at work at his bench in his jewellery business working.
Wow.
I just couldn't believe it.
All
this so long, and finally it's over. The relief is incredible, but now how to feel is the question.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's huge news and such good news, really, for all the people who were kind of living in fear. In regards to your podcast, Understate in Plain Sight, is there going to be a follow-up episode?
Yes, working all day on that yesterday, and the boss is saying, "Where is it? Where is it?" You know, hard to please, but yes, we're on it. And you know, this is going to go for many months. I think there's also the trial to come, and just an insight into how someone hides for 2.5 years in plain sight. Is someone helping them? And certainly, if anybody is helping them from the Golden Valley region, I would suggest you get straight to your local police station and tell them what you've done, because they're coming for you.
Are you likely to be able to interview Jono himself?
Well, if he wants to, I'm certainly willing to speak to him. But that's a remarkable thing. The people in the Wallen area he grew up with, his close friends who didn't give up on him, all of them have said, "I would reach out to him today. I just want to speak to him." You know, the Wallen people have been absolutely extraordinary. You know, they stuck with him. They stuck with each other. You know, very impressed.
We'll be listening to your podcast, mate.
Yeah, Adam Shan, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with the rest of the podcast series.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Do you know who's not the devil? good segue, Ellie.
Who, Ellie?
Everyone who performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
So what is this? This is pretty massive, isn't it?
It is. It's the biggest fringe festival in the world.
What's a fringe? Can you tell me what a fringe film? I've never been to one.
Hard to explain. So basically, it's a festival with all different types of acts, like for everything from amateur acts to professionals, like comedians and acrobatics and just everything. There's
and
a massive
the
one in
famous.
Adelaide and a massive one in Perth as well.
Right. And this is the most famous one they have in the world.
Yeah. It's huge. My parents actually just went. They're over there at the moment, and they said you couldn't walk down the street. There was so many people around.
Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Anyway, so the top 10 jokes of the whole festival have been announced, which is quite a high honour to achieve.
And they'd be some of the biggest comedians in the world as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go through and read them to you. And I feel like, look, I've looked at the list. There's not a lot of super funny ones in there. It must be a lot in the delivery.
Well, hang on. If this is the biggest
festival
in the world and these are the best comedians and these are the top 10 lines, you expect these jokes to be very funny. Are they long or are they like one-liners?
They're one-liners. Okay. The best one-liners of the festival. I know, which I feel like when you're going to see a stand-up comedy, you're in the mood to laugh. Like it's all a big package. It's not just the one line.
I'm an easy laugh.
All right. Okay. Well, let's see if we can make you laugh. I'm going to try and deliver them well for you because we all know I'm a comedian.
Hit me.
Someone stole my antidepressants. Whoever they are, I hope they're happy.
Oh, that's just a dad joke.
Aww.
It's a clever dad joke, but yeah. It's just a dad joke. You expect better from the film festival, whatever it's called.
Edinburgh Fringe.
That's the one.
A cowboy asked me if I could help him round up 18 cows. I said, yeah, of course. That's 20 cows.
As in him and the other guy are cows? Come on.
They're rounding up, as in like round up to the nearest 10.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Okay, too much thinking required. I'm too simple for that.
Okay, I like this one. A thesaurus is great. There's no other word for it.
Yeah.
Oh, just like, you're a tough crowd.
Is the crowd, all the Scots up there, were they all laughing to these jokes?
Yeah, these are the top 10. So for the biggest festival in the world, they should be probably a bit better.
Easy crowd.
How about this one? Sleep is my favourite thing in the world. It's the reason I get up in the morning. Yes, that got a giggle.
These are just dad jokes, Ellie.
I like this one. This one's pretty awful. I accidentally booked myself into an escapology course. I'm really struggling to get out of it.
These are horrible.
How about this one?
No, it's worse. The jokes on our show or this festival.
To be or not to be a horse rider, that is equestrian.
You love a pun, so you would love that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's
you
my
know
favorite.
I'll give that the best so far. It's clever.
Okay, are you ready for the top joke? This actually won a trophy for being the top joke.
So right now, this is the number one joke in the whole world.
Yeah. It was by a Swedish comedian named Olaf Falafel.
Of course his name's Olaf Falafel. Of course he's from Sweden.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Is the joke his name?
No, but it's kind of funnier than the actual Falafel. Joke, I reckon. I keep randomly shouting out broccoli and cauliflower. I think I might have florets. It's like
florets.
A floret is like a type of vegetable with like.
I've never like heard a of bush. A florets in my life.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's for the more educated audience.
So you'd have to know what a floret is to yeah. know the joke.
Yeah.
That's a man.
Was that anticlimactic?
Wasn't it? He should falafel out of here.
All right, do you want me to do something that will make you laugh then, without a doubt?
Much better.
Get up with Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
It's made a huge comeback and it is on our TV again tonight at 8:40 on Channel 9 Sea Change. And the man of the moment, John Howard, joins us. Morning, John.
Good morning. How's it going there?
Oh, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Well, we both sounded so depressed. It's not too bad, John.
Too dry or something.
Oh, look, it's a Tuesday. You know, it's a bit dark and gloomy outside.
No, we're happy, Ellie. But the only thing with a Tuesday, John, and I've said this on the show many times before, it's so far from last weekend, it's so far from next weekend, so we're kind of caught in the middle. But we have Sea Change tonight, so it's all good.
So are you complaining about being on a pre-hump day?
Yeah. Pretty
well,
much.
I can tell you tonight in Sea Change, you're going to have humpable stuff to see because Bob Jumpy is at his very sexiest best.
Is that right? Humpable stuff. Oh, I don't think anyone's ever described a television show as humpable before.
Yeah, this is pre-humpable and also humpable. You won't believe it. And it's sunny and it's...
And it's on free-to-air television. Who would have thought?
And also there's moisture everywhere.
Okay. Well, there's a word that we're taught not to use.
Look, yeah. You're only allowed it once a day and you've just used your quota. okay, tell us. Sea Change is obviously back after a significant hiatus, nearly 20 years. How did it feel when you got the call to say, we're on again, guys?
Oh, I felt fantastic. Deb Cox, who invented the show in the first place, rang up and said, John, do you think... Yes, please, Ed. When are we starting?
Has it been on the cards?
Last October. Yep.
Oh, right. Only since then.
Well, when she told me, and we only stopped shooting 4 weeks ago now, I think it was.
Wow.
In the northern rivers of New South Wales, up around Brunswick Heads and Mullumbimby, et cetera.
Yeah, right.
So, it happened relatively quickly, you know, from October through to April when we started shooting. Yeah, so things moved. As soon as she, of course, as soon as they got Bob Jelly on the case, then it had to go.
I love it when you do that voice.
But of course, I had to persuade Sigrid, and Sigrid was so hard to persuade. Yes, Tom?
Oh, really? Why? Like, what did you use? What were your selling factors? Oh, right.
She was
right on board.
Before I was, yeah.
Hey, John Howard, how's it been growing up with the name John Howard? Because obviously it's our most famous Prime Minister of all time as well. Has it got its ups and downs?
I minded being named after Bob Hawke.
How many times in your career have you had John Howard PM related questions?
Oh, look, honestly, guys, this is the first time for about a decade, but maybe about a million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It was actually quite handy because people wanted me to do stupid things. Like, for example, Bob Hawke did ring me up and I was lying on the bed reading a book. And my wife came and said, Bob Hawke's on the phone. I said, yeah, I know what he wants. No, he's ex-Prime Minister. Get off your ass. So I go in there and he wanted me to run against John Howard when John Howard was in his seat. And I had to tell him, look, Bob, I'm sorry, I can't because my whole family lives there in that electorate and they all vote for him. But if you want to destroy my life.
That is an unbelievable story.
That's true.
Imagine John Howard running against John Howard in the electorate because Bob Hawke called you and asked you to do it. That's incredible.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know why? Because we're hoping that some kind of ditzy bed would just see John Howard and vote.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he even said to me whilst he was talking to me, you're probably not going to win, John. And I went, well, and I'm not going to run, Bob.
Man, forget sea change. You need to make a movie about that. That's an awesome story.
That'd be a pretty short movie, I reckon. Yeah.
Sydney Short That's Film Festival.
More of a humorous kit.
Oh, yeah, a quick radio sketch. You can do it on our station if you like. We'll give you free rein.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, John, thanks so much for coming on the show this morning. Make sure you catch Sea Change. It is back tonight, 8:40 on Channel 9. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.